And so we're coming back today to our series, and we want to talk about the response to Satan's strategy of dividing and conquer. How do we have unity in a home and a culture and a time where Satan is doing all he can to divide and conquer the home? Maybe you heard the story about the three sons who left home and they went out on their own and had their own lives and families and careers and did quite well for themselves and prospered greatly. They were getting back together years later and they were discussing the gifts that through their success and accomplishments that they were able to give to their elderly mother who was living all by herself. And the first said, you know, God's blessed me and my business and I was able to build a huge home for mom. And the second said, well, that's great. I was able to buy her a brand new Mercedes Benz and send it to her with a driver full time to take her wherever she would like to go. The third smiled and said, you know, I've got you both beat. Don't you remember how much mom loved reading the Bible? And now, older in her years and not able to see quite as well, I was able to find this remarkable parrot that recites the entire Word of God. It took a group of pastors about 12 years to teach him, and he's a one of a kind, and you can literally say any chapter, book, chapter, and verse, and he can quote it just like that. And the other two were like, wow, that is a pretty good gift, you know. Well, soon thereafter, mom had received all these things, and here came the thank you letters. And the first son, Milton, she wrote, I appreciate the house you built, but it's so large, and I'm only able to live in one room, and yet I have to clean the whole house. And then to Gerald, her second son, she wrote, I'm thankful for the car, but I'm too old to travel, and I stay in most of the time, and I rarely use the new Mercedes, and the driver, he's just so rude. And then to her third son, dearest Donald, she wrote, you have the best sense of all the boys, and you know exactly what your mother likes the best. Thank you so much. The chicken was delicious. And sometimes the intentions just, it doesn't translate into what we're trying to accomplish. And sometimes in home life, we can be putting forth an effort in trying to do something, and it just doesn't translate into results. And so if Satan is real, and he is, and if there's a war on, and there is, and if he's trying to divide and conquer, then how do we respond to that? Well, in Malachi 2 weeks ago, we learned in verse number 6 of chapter number 4, that the prophet would turn the hearts of the father to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And there was a challenge that in the end times, the great need would be to bring the hearts of the fathers and the children together. That one of the signs of the times that Jesus Christ would be coming back is that homes were so fragmented, they were so divided, they were living so independently of one the other, that a great emphasis would be laid upon bring families back together again. And I believe in 2018, one of the great needs for Christian homes is for families to be back together again, to be on the same page and living in harmony and unity for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you understand Satan is trying to divide and conquer, maybe you remember that lesson from 2 weeks ago, or maybe you've listened to it since, and you identify with the idea that yes, he is trying to divide and conquer. Yes, he's trying to fragment our home. And how can we respond? And I want to give you 12 very practical tips this morning, how to take a fragmented family and bring unity again. And you say, Brother Rule, but our home is not fragmented. Our marriage is doing well, or our relationship with our children is good. Praise God. Then assess these 12 areas. Where does an emphasis need to be on your behalf? Or maybe where's a weakness that you could try to strengthen to prevent this fragmentation from happening? And if you're here this morning, you say, I understand exactly what you're talking about, and I feel like our family is somewhat fragmented. We're not together in unity. Then ask the Lord to give you humility to say, then let's look at these areas and let's work on them together as a family. So how do we put this back together again and bring unity to our home? Number one, it begins with seeking God's direction through prayer and Bible study. The Bible says in Philippians, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Moms and dads and husbands and wives, can I challenge you to something this morning? You're not going to have unity in your marriages and your homes if you're not asking God for it. It's not a natural byproduct. What is marriage? Marriage is an ever-ending commitment of an imperfect man and an imperfect woman. What does that give you? An imperfect relationship. It gives you friction. So if you're going to have unity, you're going to ask for it. Lord, help me to be who I need to be and help our relationship to have unity. And by the way, you might have the greatest marriage in the room. You might have the greatest marriage in our state. You're still going to have to pray, Lord, bless our relationship. And Lord, bless our relationship with our children and give us unity. So we want to seek it through prayer and through Bible study. In 2 Timothy 3, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What does that mean? It means the Word of God has been given to us to give us doctrine. That is what is right. To give us reproof. That is what is not right. To give us correction. That's how to get it right. And then to give us instruction. That's how to keep it right. So God is saying, listen, if you're going to have a unified home, you're going to have to seek that consistently through prayer and Bible study. You're going to have to ask God to guide you along the way. If we're fragmented in some area of our marriage, if we're fragmented in some area of our home, and we need to bring over here to unity and harmony, Lord, show us where the adjustments need to be made. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment. Give us courage to follow you. And He might lead you to make some tough choices. That's why you have to live by priority. We talked about that already in this series, Colossians 1:18, that in all things, Jesus Christ might have the what? The preeminence. He's not to be just at the top of the list. We talked about He's to be at the center of your life. So when you're making priorities and Jesus is one and your spouse is two and your children is three, then there may be a five, six, or seven down here, a job or this or that, that in relation to biblical priority and thinking doesn't hold a candle to these things that are priority. And so Jesus might lead you to make a tough decision, but He's never going to lead you to make Him a lower priority in your life. One of the great mistakes we could make is making the Lord less of a priority. We don't need to make Him less of a priority. We need every day to be making Him more of a priority in our life, and every bit of our life benefits when we do that. So we have to seek the Lord. We must seek Him first, and we must ask Him through prayer and study of His Word, Lord, what stays on my schedule and what comes off? If we're trying to take a fragmented family to a unified family, it doesn't take rocket science to figure out we're going to have to make some adjustments. We cannot continue to do what we're doing and expect results if what we have right now is not what we want. So we're going to have to make some adjustments. We're going to have to make some changes. And we've got to seek the Lord's help and wisdom as we do. And as we seek the Lord in prayer and Bible study, secondly then, we must make tough choices about good things. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. God wants you and I to think on things that are right. God wants you and I to live by right priorities, and we have to be willing to rearrange our schedules to match God-given biblical authorities. And priorities in our life. When you stood in marriage altar and you said, I do till death do us part, you were making a commitment to keep your husband or to keep your wife at a biblical priority, which is what? Which is second only to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the priority it's supposed to have. When God blessed you with children, they were a major priority. There's so much in the scriptures about nurturing our children in a relationship with the Lord, in the relationship that He has given to us. And so when we are seeking to be in God's will and for our family to have the right priority, we're going to have to make some choices about some good things. There might be a ball practice that's not attended. There might be a music lesson that doesn't happen. There might be a night of homework that goes undone. There might be a second job you're going to have to wait on. There might be a continuation of education that needs to be delayed. There might be some group, some hobby, some whatever that for right now is just not going to make the cut. Because I have 24 hours and 7 days like everybody else. And I have a relationship with God and I have a relationship with my spouse and I have a relationship with my children that matter and are a priority to me. And I'm going to blink and they are going to be out of my house. I was walking down the aisle, not getting married or anything. I was walking down the aisle this morning at 8:30 and Dr. Shepherd walked up to me and he said, "Brother Rule, your daughter is growing up." Now, Mariah and Lydia this week got contacts. And so they are making the transition from glasses to contacts. And it's been quite an ordeal in our home, them learning how to do it all and so on. But there's just something about that just makes them look older just by itself, it felt like with that. And she was with me, or we were walking down the aisle this morning, heading into the 8:30 service and shaking hands. And he said, "Brother Rule, your daughter is growing up." And then he followed it up by saying, "You better get the guns ready." And I knew exactly what he meant. I mean, it was the brotherhood of the fatherhood right there. I mean, I was just in sync with him, you know. And I said, "Absolutely, man, I am ready." But, you know, I was thinking last night, I was studying through this again and praying and was thinking, you know, there might be some things in my life that I would like to do. Joseph is 8. In 10 years, my life will radically change. And I was just thinking through some things last night. Some people have encouraged me to pursue this and pursue that. And I was thinking last night, you know what? Those things could wait 10 years. I have but a moment to make such an impact in 5 lives and hearts that depend upon me to be genuine, to be involved, and to make tough choices. And if I'm not willing to do that, then I'm going to sacrifice the impact I could make on their life for the cause of Christ. And I'm just challenging our class. You're going to have to make some tough choices. There's going to be some things you're going to have to say, you know what? These are not going to make the cut because they're not as high of a priority to me. You've got to be willing to make your family and the time with your family a high priority. Now, what will help us do this? Thirdly, make a week-by-week assessment of your family time. In 2 Timothy 3, the Bible says, "This know also then, the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful." That's a description of today for sure. But you know what God challenges you and I with? You know what's going to happen in the last time? We're going to be lovers of our own selves. You know what makes the schedule? What we want to make the schedule. And let's be honest in this room. Nobody in here did anything in the last 7 days because somebody held a gun to your head. You chose to do it. We can talk all day long about life and pressures and stress and finances and this problem and that problem. Let's be honest. Every one of us in the last 7 days did what we did because we chose to do it. Life is an accumulation of the choices we make. That's what it is. And we can get way out of balance if we're not willing to sit down and to make an assessment and say, okay, then let's look at this objectively. 7 days passed. How am I doing? In the last 7 days, how much time did I spend with God? And you can count right now. Go right on ahead. But in God's word and in prayer, how much time did I spend with my spouse? Did we have time to talk? Did we go on a date? Did we laugh? Did we have fun? Did we invest in each other's lives? If God's blessed you with children in the home, how much time did you spend with your children last week? What did you do? What imprint did you leave on their heart? How much time did you spend reading them God's word? How much time did you spend praying with them? How does the last 7 days look? And if you look back at it and you say, honestly, Gabe, it looks pretty good. To God be the glory. Keep it up, because Satan's going to fight you on that. But if you look back over the last 7 days and you say, honestly, Brother Rule, if my schedule were on that screen for everyone in this room to see exactly how I spent my time, I'd hang my head. Then I just want to encourage you. You got a fresh 7 days starting tomorrow. And Dolores Terry's just coming. It's just going to take you making some adjustments, making some assessments and saying, hey, I've got to get some things back in order. I've got to be willing to sit down to look at my calendar and is where I'm spending my time match the priorities that God has given to me. And dads and husbands in the room, I want to encourage you, take the lead in this area. Husbands, you initiate the conversation with your wife about your calendar and are you getting time together. Dads, you initiate the conversation with your wife and your children regarding time together. You make that happen. Get involved in that thing and make your family a priority and recognize there's going to be temporary seasons of imbalance, okay? That's part of life. That's going to happen. Courtney, could you jump up here real quick for me and help me? And let's see here. I need something. Courtney's a big, tough guy, too. Courtney, come up here for me, would you? Okay, I don't have anything heavy enough. Let's see. Will this do it? Oh, that might be. I don't know. Here, James, let me have your chair. Okay, Courtney, come on up here. We're going to steal James's chair. I want you to hold your arm out for me, and I want Courtney to hold this chair for me. You grab it however you want, and then kind of hold your arm out. Okay, now, Courtney, he's seen a gym once or twice, okay? And so, Courtney. And Courtney's my friend, by the way, all right? But now Courtney, he could hold this for a while. He might even be able to hold it for the whole class period. I don't know. But here's what I do know. At some point in time, this would be heavier than he could hold. And here's what happens in family life. We ask our wives, we ask our children to hold a weight. Okay, we're going into a week where I'm going to be traveling, or we're going into a week where this is going to be happening. We're going to, it's getting a little heavy, isn't it? Yeah, and whatever. And we're asking them to hold this weight, but here's the problem. Then we act like we never asked them to hold it, or we forget they're holding it. And all of a sudden, if I don't come along and help him or encourage him or whatever, he's going to really start disliking me. And at some point, when this is heavier than he can hold, and the emotion of failing and all of that begins to settle in, he's not frustrated with this. He's frustrated with the person who gave it to him, and that's me. Thank you, Courtney. Now, you know what? Which he agrees, right? Now, you know what? That's what happens in family life. We ask our family to hold a weight of imbalance for a season, and it may be necessary. It may be, I've got to go to the wall on this project, or I've got to take this business trip, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that. But we can't indefinitely ask them to hold that weight and then act like it's not there, and then when they get mad it's there, we get mad at them. How dare we do that? I can't do that to my wife and to my four children. That's the weight I gave them. I have to own that. And if there's a season of imbalance, I have to be aware of it, and I better have a solution for it. I better have a time where that weight comes off and we make it up and so on. And you know what will help you with that? A week-by-week assessment. And let's be honest. If you say, Brother Rule, this is kind of a weakness for me. I could look at my schedule and I could talk myself into how good I'm doing, but I don't really know. Then can I just encourage you? There's a lot of good, godly men and ladies in this room. Get an accountability partner. And just, you know, Courtney, could we just look at each other's calendars each week for 5 minutes? And could you just keep me accountable? And if you don't see anything on there about my relationship with God or my wife or my children, could you look me in the eye as a friend and ask me to do better? There's men in this room that'll do that. And by the way, isn't that a good thing? Amen. Are we not here to provoke one another to love and to good works? We're not much of a class if we talk about it, but we don't live it. So this should be an environment where we're trying to live in and where we're encouraging one another to do so. Then what do we do as we make these assessments? Number four, be willing to schedule extended time with a struggling member of your family. Now, as we look at these assessments and we think, good night, right now in the area of our marriage or this particular child or whatever, there's an issue that's stirring and something that's not right. We've got to be willing to schedule some extra time in that way. It might be, man, I'm taking a day off work. I'm taking that kid out of school. We're going to go, you know, take a hike, or we're going to go here. We're going to go wherever, but we're going to get some extra time together to nurture the heart and try to remedy some struggle that we're sensing. Then number five, we cannot expect an overnight miracle. Sometimes we have lived fragmented for so long, and then we think, I'm going to put one good week together, and it's all going to be amazing. Listen, Big ships turn slow. If you've been fragmented for a while, don't expect an overnight miracle in your marriage or your home. It's going to take time. But what did we sing this morning? God is able, and it can happen. We've just got to be sensitive and be willing to do our part consistently. And class, we must always remember this. It takes time to build relationships. No one is going to consistently build nurturing relationships in this room without time. It is impossible for me to say, my relationship with Susanna is great, and also say, we don't spend time together. You cannot make those two statements correctly together. It's impossible. How can I have a great relationship with her if I don't spend time with her? That's not possible. How can I have a great relationship with God if I don't spend time with Him? That's not possible. How can I have a great relationship with my kids but I don't spend time with them? That's not possible. And I don't care how amazing your kids' academic is. I don't care how amazing their extracurricular activity is. I don't care how amazing they are in sports and this area and that area. You know what they need? Your time. Well, yeah, but when they're with this teacher, they're learning this. And when they're with this professor, they're learning this. And this musician, they're learning this. And this coach, they're learning this. They've got one dad and one mom, and that's you. And your time and your investment in their life is more important, in my opinion, than all of that put together. Because when you study the Word of God, it's not to the teacher, the coach, or the musical professional the command to nurture and admonish. It's to the dad and the mom. And we cannot just extend our responsibility to others. Now, there may be others that are helping us in the endeavor. Thank God for that. Thank God for good, godly coaches and teachers and music teachers and so on. There's some people that God has put in our family's life that I am eternally grateful. Eternally grateful. But I cannot view that as, well, they have that. They don't need me. Wrong. They need me and they need you. And we have to recognize it takes time to rebuild relationships. It takes time to nurture those relationships. You know what we do sometimes? We're behind in the time and the relational connection as a family. So what do? We plan a big deal. We spend a lot of money. And, you know, we go to Disney or we do this or we do that. And it's like, okay, now I've fixed it all. 4 months of neglect and 2 days, we're even. But because it took so much time and because it took so much money, now we can't do anything until the next big thing. Moms and dads, can I encourage you? Your kids don't need Disneyland every 3 months. You know what they need? They need 3 hours with you every week. They just need time. Taking a walk, going on a hike, riding a bike, throwing a ball, wrestling on the floor, taking a drive, going shopping together, shooting a gun together, whatever. They just need time with you. And you're going to have to prioritize that time and make it happen and invest it in the relationships that God has given you in your life. We cannot expect an overnight miracle, but we've got to invest time into the relationships that we have and into the ones that we are trying to rebuild. Then number six, look for teaching moments. In Deuteronomy chapter number six, we were challenged that we were to teach diligently unto thy children. And talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and when thou shalt bind them with a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. We want to look for teaching opportunities. Now, in our home, every evening we have what we call special times. And when I say it's special times, Mariah, Lydia, Annalena, Joseph, come to the living room. And I read a devotional we're doing right now, the Word of the Wise, a devotional which is a verse from Proverbs and a devotional thought and an application from it. Then we might sing. Oftentimes we'll kneel around the chaise and we'll pray. Sometimes they love it when I'll get a little mini basketball, and after I read the devotional and share something, then I'll ask them questions, you know, about what I just said or what we just read and see if they were listening, and I'll throw it to them if they get it right, and we'll have some fun with that. So there are some premeditated times that are kind of consistent on the calendar. But you know what I'm learning? That the unplanned teaching moments that just kind of arise in the midst of a daily schedule are sometimes the most potent that we will ever have. And we just have to be in tune as moms and dads for teaching moments when just life happens around us and we can use it as an opportunity to teach. What does this mean? How does it affect their life? And what can we do? Why? Because more than our children need our lecturing, they need our heart. And when we are looking for opportunities to touch their heart with truth, it will help you and I incredibly. So we want to create an atmosphere where we're looking for teaching moments and we're taking advantage of teaching moments. Now, you know what will help us discern a teaching moment and being able to share something meaningful? When we have a personal walk with God that's real. When you and I spend time in the morning with God in His Word and in prayer, and God is speaking to us and working through us, you know what it does? It heightens our awareness to the fact that God is in everything. And so we spent time with Him in the morning, and God spoke to us, and He gave us direction. And now we're doing our best to live that out. And in our pursuit of that, life happens. And when it does, with our spouse or our children in vicinity, we can share with them a life lesson that God is teaching, or that something that God did in our heart that morning in our time with Him, or whatever. And that teaching moment, sometimes just a spontaneous teaching moment, can have such an impact in the lives of our family. So how do we respond to Satan's attack to divide and conquer? If you haven't caught on by now, we're not getting all 12 today, so don't worry, I'm not going to talk that fast. But let's review the first six. How do we respond to Satan's attack to divide and conquer? Number one, we must seek God's direction through what? Prayer and what? Bible study. Number two, we must make what kind of choices? Tough choices about good things. Thirdly, we must make a week by week assessment of our what? Our family time. Are we getting time with our spouse? Are we getting time with our children? Are they holding that weight seemingly indefinitely? We've got to correct that. There's a lot of tension in the home when that's happening. Then number four, we've got to be willing to schedule what? Extended time with a struggling member of the family. That might be you and your spouse getting some time this week in an evening. It might be you taking a kid and going for a better part of a Saturday and doing something. But get some extended time together. Then number five, don't expect an overnight what? Miracle. It takes time. And if we're in a deeply fragmented situation, then just put time in it, keep investing in it, and rebuild that relationship. And if it's not fragmented and it's good, then keep nurturing it. Keep investing time. Don't wait every 3 to 4 months for this huge thing. Just every week, invest some quality time that's there. And then number six, constantly look for what kind of moments? Teaching moments. Teaching moments. When you and I are walking with God authentically, when we are learning, and when we are looking for opportunities to invest that into the hearts of our children, God's going to bless, and it's going to have an impact on their heart and their life. Now, next week, we will finish the other six responses to Satan's desire to fragment our family. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for some time together in Your Word this morning. And Lord, I pray that You would help us as husbands and wives and moms and dads to assess our marriages and families and to ask the question, do we have unity and do we have harmony and are we doing well? And Lord, may we be willing to look at these practical tips and say, you know what? I've got room for growth and improvement here. I need to make some adjustments. I need to change some things. I need to get back to living a prioritized life according to the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that You'd bless every home as they strive to thwart Satan's attack, to divide their home. But Lord, with Your Word and guidance and the filling of Your Spirit, I pray that You'd bring great unity and harmony to their marriages and their families. And bless us as we come back next week and finish this thought. And we'll praise and thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.